Morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Come on, give me a little love back. Merry Christmas. Awesome, awesome. I love Christmas. I love family at Christmas. Y'all like being with your family at Christmas? I hope for the most part you do. Be awesome. Some of my family made it from Australia this week, and so that really helps. She brought a boy with her, so that's awesome. So we have a boyfriend, and so love that. Yeah, it's awesome. I really like Lachlan. His name's Lachlan. He's just great. You'll get a chance to meet him. It's just wonderful. So I'm happy. Like, man, so my son will be home next week, and so I don't know. I may float around on stage for a week. I don't know. It's just awesome. Love having family home. I love Christmas. I love gifts. I like presents. I like to get presents. I like to give presents. And it's just awesome. And so we've been in this series talking about how we have an expectation. And I think a gift kind of gives you an expectation. So when you see a gift under the tree and you're thinking, man, what's in the box? And so just it just builds that anticipation for something coming. I do want to remind you about our Christmas Eve service. It's December 24th, if you're wondering. 4 o'clock, we're having one service that day. And I'm going to put stuff in this box that has really no high value and purpose in your life, but it's just gonna be fun stuff. And so we're gonna give it away, and so I'm gonna go shopping, and I'll go to Toys R Us, and I'll find us some stuff, and the adults are gonna love it. So one of you are gonna want what's in the box. But I was thinking, though, what is the worst gift that you've ever received? And we're talking about expecting something, and you open the box, and you're like, I don't know if I want that. Have you ever kind of, and you try to fake it, like, yay, you know what I mean? So my grandmother went through a series of Christmases where her gift giving dropped off pretty bad. And so our expectation became, I wonder what she's giving us this year. You know, it was opposite of excitement. It's like wonder. And so one year I opened up my gift from my grandmother, and I love my grandmother, not picking on her. She's gone to be with the Lord, but her gift giving is kind of funny. But so one year I opened it up, and there was a candle in this ceramic vase, and it had like cutouts on the side so the light would shine out of it. And first of all, I'm like, why would I be getting a candle? You know, I mean, like, give her a candle maybe. But so we opened it up and I looked, but the candle was half burned down. And so we came to realize that she had, instead of buying gifts now, it just started walking around her house and picking out stuff and wrapped it up and gave it to us. It was great. Harriet got a bottle of perfume from her that was nearly empty. So she had used most of it, and then she was like, well, you can have it now. And so, yeah, I don't know. So it's just funny. Gifts are great, and they create an expectation. There's a gift that I think that God gives us is one of the greatest gifts that he gives, and it's the ability to dream. I think a dream creates this expectation that there's something that he has for us that is pulling us to it. It's like a dream God uses as a way to direct our lives. And so he gives us this dream in our heart, and we think, man, I want to pursue that. And it's his way of leading us. An expectation comes within us when we sense the dream that God has. Without a dream, gosh, I think we just kind of live purposeless. You know, we're just kind of like, well, I don't know, I'm just going through the motions of the day. But a dream sets our eyes on something that's kind of even more than where we are today and pulls us to it. We live for a dream, and so it's good to dream. Dreams give us this goal that we can pursue. It brings inspiration to our life. Proverbs 29, chapter 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so where people lack a dream, they lack the inspiration to live with passion. And so I don't want that to be for us, because I think God has put dreams in our heart to help guide your life. I think there are dreams that haven't been fulfilled in our church. I believe there are songs that haven't been written yet that some of you will write. I believe there are books that haven't been written. I believe there are businesses that haven't been started just yet. I believe there are ministries that haven't been birthed yet. And it's like they're in us. And I want to help stir that dream in you. I want to help you to learn how to get from where you are today to living the dream that God has for you. I think that sometimes we find ourselves kind of living in the circumstances, and they begin to limit what we feel that we'll accomplish in our life. And so, like, we'll look at our current situation, our job, or our finances, or our debts, and it begins to kind of shape us and go, well, that's just as far as you're going to go. We'll look at our past, and maybe we've had addictions and those kind of things, and it starts to just shape us. And we think, this is as far as we're going to go. What a dream does is it gives you something beyond that current spot, and it almost lifts our hope and says, this is what can be. And as you put your heart into it and you begin to pursue the dream, it'll actually pull you out of circumstances into the place that God wants for your life. God wants to fuel your life with dreams. I believe God wants to lead you with a dream. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what it's saying is when we pursue God and we have delight in him, that he will actually place the desire and the dream in your heart. That he is the one that is putting it there. It's not you that just kind of came up with this idea and began to pray for God to do it. It's like he puts the dream in your heart so that you'll pursue him and his dream and wind up living out what he wants for your life. So God puts the desire there. God wants you to live with an expectation. I think we ought to live with a sense of favor of God on our life. And you find that favor when you're walking in the grace and towards the peace that he has for you and the dream that he's put in front of you. And so you can live with that kind of an expectation. I read a book recently about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And famously he said, and you know what he said, I have a dream. And it's the dream that drove him. He made a movement of people who were suffering with injustice, and through his dream and his inspiration, he led people out of a place into something new. And so we have a dream. God wants you to dream. He wants you to live with an expectation. Today I want to take us to a story about Elizabeth and Mary. Their story and their relationship about how they lived their dream will inspire you, but it'll also help you see that there's a key here to you getting from where you are to where God wants you to be. And I want to share that key with you today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35. And let me set up the story before I read. And first tell you about Mary. Mary is well known. She was a young girl engaged to Joseph. And she was the one that God chose to carry the Son of God and be the mother of Jesus. And so this is the story about where the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the angel came to visit her and to tell her what was going on. And so it says in verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Wow, what a moment for a young girl. I mean, just like, wow, an angel came to visit. I'm going to carry the Son of God. The angel goes on in verse 36 and says, what's more, so on top of what I just told you, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Now, I think verse 36 gets looked over sometimes as we read. I mean, wouldn't it? I mean, you just read about how an angel had said, Mary, you're going to carry the Son of God. That pretty much puts a period to most of everything you're thinking about. But there's some more to the story that the angel carried on. And the angel said, hey, you need to know there's more. Your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. Now, why did the angel include Elizabeth in this amazing announcement? And so I think there's two reasons. And one is I think that the story of Elizabeth had reached the ears of Mary sometime before, and she knew of the miracle that God had done in her life. And so when the angel reminded Mary about Elizabeth, it probably built her faith to think, well, if God did a miracle in her pregnancy, he can do it for me. And so it became a testimony that fueled her faith. But I think there's even more than fueling her faith. I believe the angel directed Mary to Elizabeth because Elizabeth had something Mary needed to help her in her walk. I think the angel wanted Mary to know that there was someone else that could help her reach her dream of carrying this child. Mary's dream was to carry the Son of God, but it would need someone to strengthen her in a relationship that would help her reach what God had for her. So the angel pointed Mary to Elizabeth. Now, a little bit about Elizabeth, and I'll read her story. She was married to Zechariah. She was barren. Zechariah and Elizabeth had grown very old, the scripture says. They'd been praying for years to have a baby. Somewhere around 40 years, they had been asking God. And so the Holy Spirit, by way of an angel, came and spoke to them. And it said, and the angel said to Zechariah that your wife is going to become pregnant and you're going to carry a child. Now, for Elizabeth, this was like a miracle of miracles for her. She was beyond childbearing age. And in that culture, when someone had not been able to have a child, it was like a very negative identity on her. So people knew her as barren. And so it was a struggle of her. So when the angel said, you're going to have a child, and she became pregnant, it like redeemed her past. It gave her kind of a hope for the future, and the dream of this child was within her. And so the angel said to Mary, you need to go see her because she has something that you need in your life. And so he just mentioned her name to her. So Elizabeth now is 6 months pregnant, and she's pregnant with a child, and his name will be John. He will be John the Baptist. John the Baptist was called by God to be the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that proclaimed Jesus to the world. And so this is where Mary runs to Elizabeth to hear and talk to her in verse 39. So it says, a few days later, Mary, she hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. So Mary, she entered the house and she greeted Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Elizabeth cried out with joy, a glad cry, with an exclamation to Mary. And this is what she said to Mary. Elizabeth said this to Mary. She said, God has blessed you above all women, and your child will be blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should come visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. You just picture this moment. So you have an older lady who is carrying the dream of her life, a miracle within her. The baby redeemed her reputation, so to speak. And so she was so full of joy. I can only imagine the passion of carrying this dream within her. The Bible says that the community was aware and celebrated with her. And so here she is at her house, and this young girl shows up, Mary, her relative, and as she walks in, Elizabeth says something so profound, something so deep, it's crazy. She looked at another girl and said, God has blessed you above all women, and your child will be blessed. In other words, she said this. She said, your dream supersedes my dream at this moment. Wow, that's pretty intense. I mean, if you're a mom carrying a child and you go, but your child is more important than my child. Your dream is more important than my dream. For someone to be able to do that, I mean, you've got to have a humility in your spirit. You've got to be someone that's not dealing with jealousy. You're not comparing, like today on, you know, Instagram, it's all about comparison and look how pretty my baby is. And you know, you don't say it, but they think it a little bit. My picture's better than your picture, you know? But there's that spirit that's in the culture that compares and has a jealousy. But Elizabeth, she stopped and she's like, whoa, in a humble way, your dream supersedes my dream. So here's one of the keys for you to get to your dream. And that's that there's something that you'll learn from helping other people with their dreams that prepares you for your own. There's something about helping someone, lifting someone else's dream up that God uses to birth your dream in your life. And so Elizabeth was able to help and encourage and lift up her little Mary to help her. Here's what the scripture says in Luke chapter 16. It says, if you are not faithful with other people's things, you could fill in the word there for things, and it could be material things, it could be someone's business, it could be someone's dream, someone's vision. If you're not faithful with other people's dreams, why should you be trusted with dreams of your own? In other words, if you want to live your dream, there's going to be a season of helping someone else's dream come true first. And that's the pathway that God uses to help you reach your dream. He uses your ability to lift someone else up. And in that, God says, you are trustworthy. I can impart to you your dream and help you get there. Because greatness comes from building up other people. Greatness comes from lifting other people's lives. Rather than lifting up your own dream, when you learn to lift up others' dreams, then God can see you trustworthy and lift up your dream. It's so much better when God lifts your dream versus when you lift your dream. Listen, the last thing you want to do is to have to try to carry your own ministry and say, God bless it. The last thing you want to do is to try to carry your own business and say, God, I hope you'll take care of it. The last thing you want to do is to create your own marriage. What you really want is to say, God, you lift it, you make it, and then I'm going to do what you're doing, and His favor and blessings is on it. And so we want to learn to lift up others. You see, I think God really wants you to be a part of building His kingdom. But it's not always your own thing that He's going to have you build at first. Sometimes He has us build up another person's dream and helps it come true. Sometimes He says your first step before you get to your dream is to build someone else's dream while your dream is put on hold. And that's hard because I've got a dream. Elizabeth, think about her. She had a dream. She was like, I've got my child. I've got my miracle. And then Mary walks in and she says, your dream is more. I'm going to support your dream. I'm going to be there for you. Because here's what I think was going to happen. I think that the community was going to reject Mary when she showed up and told the community, I was engaged, but I'm pregnant before I'm married. And that was going to go down hard for her. But she had an Elizabeth in her life that said, girl, I got your back. I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. I don't care what they say. I'm here. You see, God's going to call us to be an Elizabeth before He calls you to be a Mary. And you're going to lift somebody up, and you're going to stand with them. Now, I think Elizabeth could have missed it. I think she could have missed it. Now, think about this. Elizabeth, her dream inside was to birth John the Baptist. John the Baptist was to be the forerunner of Christ. He was the one that was going to lift up Jesus. All right, so think about his calling. Now, compare it to hers. Elizabeth was to lift up Mary. Elizabeth's son, John, was to lift up Mary's son, Jesus. And so I think that this was a huge moment in Elizabeth's life because she could have missed it. She could have, you know, Mary could have walked in and she could have been like, well, hey, Mary, how are you? And, hey, I'm going to have a baby. And, oh, well, yeah, I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm ahead of you. You know, Elizabeth could have said, you know, look at your, you know, cute little 15-year-old body. I'm 60. You know, you got a nice little miracle, but look at me. I mean, she could have missed it, but she didn't. She said, no, I am going to submit to God's plan, and I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to bless your life. And I believe that it was that moment that Elizabeth said, I am here for you to lift you, that the Holy Spirit transferred the character of the mom into John so that when John was born, he had a destiny that he could fulfill to lift up Jesus. Elizabeth's dream, it was so much more than just having a baby. Now, she may have originally thought, I just want to have a baby. But when the angel came to Zechariah to tell him about this baby, it became apparent that God had more in store than just having a baby. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 1 about this child. It says, the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And he will never touch wine or alcoholic drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth. But this is what it says. It says, he will turn many Israelites to their Lord. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Elizabeth's dream to have a child that would fulfill the calling on her life, on his life, was dependent on her faithfulness to lift up someone else's dream. It was dependent on it. She could have missed it, but she didn't. She was humble. Here's a point for you. If you want to be successful in your dream, then you'll have a season where you're faithful lifting up someone else's dream. I think that one of the setbacks of American church today, and I don't mean just LifeCC, I just in culture in general in the church, is that there's an independent spirit. And what I mean by that is people have a hard time kind of submitting their dream to another person, to a church, and saying, I'm willing to serve and be faithful here until God does something for me. Because so many people, and listen, we all deal with it, including myself, but we try to birth our own dreams before God's ready, and we think, I can do it. I don't need someone else. I don't need to serve under the church. I don't need to lift up somebody else. I want to do it my way, my timing, and we force those things too often. And what serving another person's dream does is it puts us in a situation to where God prepares us to be able to live out what he has for us. Faithfulness to lift another person's dream will be the key to you receiving your dream. And so I want to give you three lessons or tests that we probably will go through as we serve in someone else's dream. And so God wants to prepare you, and these three tests kind of reveal your heart, my heart, in some areas that will show whether or not you're ready for the dream that God wants to do in your life. And so let me share three tests that will happen in your life as you serve in someone else's dream. The first is the test of pride. Elizabeth, what an amazing lady. When Mary walked in, she said, you know, you are blessed. Your child is blessed. God has blessed you more than all the other women. What a humble place she took. And because she was able to like pass that test at that moment, God imparted that same spirit into John the Baptist. Because we read in John 3:30, and this is what it says about John in his words. John the Baptist said, he, being Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. In other words, it was the heart of John to lift up Jesus. Well, he got that from his mom. She imparted that because she passed the test of humility and was able to support Mary. She imparted it. Now, here's what I love. When we submit ourselves and we are lifting up another ministry, this doesn't mean you get forgotten. It doesn't mean that, you know, that's all you're going to be. God will use that to lift you up. And this is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Now remember, John the Baptist lifts Jesus up, and he's the one that says that, you know, I must become less and him greater. And so Jesus said this in Matthew 11:11. He said, I tell you the truth, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. When we become great in God's eyes, it's when we help other people become greater than ourselves. So if you want greatness, if you want to live out your dream, it's going to start on a pathway of lifting up someone else's dream. The test of pride. I wonder, some questions you might ask yourself is, can your heart handle someone else's success without jealousy in your own heart? Can you support someone else, and as God elevates them, can you stand back and go, praise God, I celebrate what God's doing in your life? Can you handle it when only you and God know how much you invested in to help lift someone else's dream up? Can you handle you two being the only one that know, or do you have to go around and say, well, I did this and I did that? See, it's the test of pride. God will let you get that worked out of your life before he sets you on your ministry or your dream platform. The second test is the test of time. You know, anybody can be faithful for a day. I'm there for you, buddy. I got you. For a day. I'll serve at your church. People have come to me. I can't tell you how many times. I'm here to serve. You can count on me. Sign me up. We put them in 1 week, and I never see them again. I'm faithful, you know. And the test of times, you can be faithful for a day, maybe a week, a month. Here's the question, though, that can you be faithful for however long it takes for God to promote you and put you in your dream? However long that is. There's a season for everything. Your season will come, but can you wait on God? I read this story about a pastor. He was an evangelist, and he was telling his story about the time that it took for him to get set into his evangelistic role. And it had taken a long time. And so this man was a businessman, and he was sharing his story about how long he had to wait and his heart behind it. And so this is a quote from him, and he said that he prayed this to the Lord. He said, Lord, let it take as long as you need to work out all the pride out of me before you release me. I want to steward your glory well. Take as long as you need. Don't let me go before it's time, no matter how often I plead for you to let me go. And so, man, can we just say, God, I just want to wait on you. And I'll be faithful for as long as it takes. The third test that you're going to run into is really the test of faithfulness. You'll be tested on faithfulness. When you are serving and lifting up someone else, there's going to be moments that you want to quit. There's going to be times that you think you can find another way to get to your dream. There's going to be times that you're frustrated with the person you're serving, and you're just going to get frustrated with it, and you're going to want to quit, and it happens. That's why it's a test. I'll tell you about a test that I feel, and without bragging on myself, but I passed a test with my pastor years ago. When Harriet and I were first married, I went to Pastor Frank, my pastor. We were at New Covenant Church, and I said, Pastor Frank, I said, I have a dream to be a youth pastor. I want to pastor these youth, and I want to lead the youth in our church. That's my heart. That's my passion. And no one's leading our youth ministry right now, so can I please be the person that leads our youth? And so he said, let me think about it, pray about it. And he said, I'll get back to you in a week. So I went back to him in a week later, and he said, man, I'm so glad you came and offered to serve that way. He said, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. He said, I need you to lead our children's ministry. And I said, I want to do youth. He goes, yeah, I don't need youth. I need children's ministry right now. And he said, would you do that? So I said, well, yes, I will. Because what was in my heart was faithfulness. It wasn't about my ministry. It wasn't about my promotion. It wasn't about what I wanted. I wanted to do what my pastor needed at that time. And so for 4 years, I led a children's ministry in our church. We got up to almost 100 children. It was a phenomenal ministry, and I gave it all I had. We worked at it, and finally one day he called me into his office, and he said, hey, Tim, you've done such a great job with that. I'm ready for you to lead the youth ministry. And man, I was excited. It was like that moment. You're like, yeah, you know, I served it. I did well. And so for about a year, Harriet and I led the youth ministry, and we had kids in our house all the time, and it grew, we probably took the youth ministry to a place that had never been in like in our church, and one of the largest youth ministries in our town, and like we were rocking and rolling that thing. And about a year into it, about at the peak, I was in the church on a Wednesday night, and Pastor Frank called me back in his office, and I walked in, and he said, "Hey, Tim, great job with the youth ministry. I want you to meet Nick. Nick's our new youth pastor. I want you to turn over all the youth ministry to him next week, and I appreciate it. Have a great day." I was hurt. I was like, what? I mean, honestly, when I left, I shut the door a little hard. A little hard. I wanted him to hear it when it shut. So I went home, and Harriet and I began to pray it out, and we said, you know what? We trust Pastor Frank. We may not understand all the circumstances, but he has been trustworthy, and we're going to be faithful. And so we made up our mind how we were going to be faithful. And so we decided we'd volunteer for the youth ministry and we'd serve under Nick. And then we took him a check for $300 and we said, we want to be sure you start this thing with a bang because we want to be faithful to it. And so I remember kind of passing that test of faithfulness, and God began to use me in other ways in our church. And later there was this conference that Pastor Frank was leading, and they had this panel discussion. And the panel discussion had him sitting there, and I was right beside him on this panel discussion. 200 church leaders were there, and they were asking questions about how he had these sons in the faith that would help support him and kind of, you know, be part of his ministry. And so one of the questions came to me and said, "Hey, Pastor Tim," he said, "has Pastor Frank ever hurt you in the journey?" And I said, "Well, yes, he has." Well, Frank looked at me. Like, what in the world, you know? And I said, and I told the story. And I noticed his mouth had kind of dropped a little bit. And he was like, he didn't even know. We got in the car and he said, "Tim, tell me what happened." He goes, "I don't remember the story that way." And so I retold the story to him. And he goes, "Well, that's just awful." He said, "That's not what happened." He said, 3 months before that, I had asked one of our other past staff members to meet with you and to begin that transition 3 months in advance, and then have you ready to take over another ministry. And he said, "But he must not have told you." I said, "He never said a word to me." And he said, "And you know what?" He said, "You came back. You were faithful." We cried in the car. It's okay to cry. I'm going to cry now. But it's faithfulness. Now, I don't tell you that story to brag on me. But I tell you that I believe that one of the reasons that I have the privilege of standing on this platform today to speak into your life is that I passed a test of faithfulness somewhere back down the line. And I want to encourage you that God has a dream, and he's putting it in front of you to have that expectation. But your path from where you are to that dream is going to go through a Mary. And you'll have to be Elizabeth for a season. And if you'll humble yourself and you'll be faithful to lift up another dream, God will be faithful and he'll trust you to bring you your dream. Because one day, your dream's going to come. And there's going to be a group of people that start coming around you because you've been faithful. Because God will give you a dream bigger than you can carry on your own. And you're going to need people that come beside you and help lift you up. And if you've been faithful and you've sown faithfulness, the day will come when others come to help you. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up with me as I pray? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we have a church that's filled with faithful people. I think about the people in our church that have been faithful for years here, and they've not done it for a name. They've not done it for a reputation. They've just been faithful. I thank you that we have a church like that. And God, I pray that you would grow us even in that capacity, that there would be other people that would say, you know what, I need to take a step in faithfulness, that my church can depend on me. And God, I pray that today that this word would inspire us to say, God, I know you have a dream, but I'm willing to be an Elizabeth so that I can have my merry moment. And so, God, I pray for us. I pray you'd give us that steadfast, that commitment, that faithfulness. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray that we would have dreams. And I pray from this place that we would see songs written and books written and businesses started, ministries launched. God, let those dreams come to life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You want to worship a minute with me? Let's do. Let's let it release. Come on, let's have a little fun. Come on, church.